blessed, what it is. That's what we're talking about this week. What does it really mean to be a blessing? And how can we be a blessing? I want to share with you a very important story. It might not make sense at the beginning, but I promise you by the end of our conversation, it'll make a lot of sense. So let me just go ahead and dive right into it. My senior year of high school, I was a friend with this guy named Chad Huggins. And I actually met him in my sophomore year when I started my band called So Help Me God. It was kind of a Christian hardcore band, and at the beginning we weren't very good. You know, we just kind of, we were a garage band to say the least, and we didn't have everything together, but we loved to play. You know, we loved the Lord, and that was kind of the most important part. Chad would come over to our garage sessions, if you want to call it that, and he would always just be like, dude, you guys are amazing. You guys are awesome. And like, we knew we sucked. I mean, let's be honest. We knew that we were not that good. But Chad would always come over and he would just completely bless us with his presence. I mean, Chad was like the most positive person you could ever think of. Always funny, always outgoing, always had a great perspective on life. Now, we heard that his home life wasn't that great, but, you know, whatever. That doesn't – it's not relevant because what Chad was an amazing human being who loved people. My senior year of high school, I was sitting at my computer one night, and that's when MySpace was kind of the big thing. And I saw on one of the feeds that this guy named Chad Huggins – was shot and that we need to pray for him. And at first I'm thinking, Chad Huggins, why do I know that name? I didn't know what his name was. We always called him Chuggins. That was his nickname, Chuggins. And so I found out who he was, found out it was Chuggins. And I started to pray. Immediately found out where he was. He died that night. And we found out later that he committed suicide. And none of us, the next day when I went into school, none of us, we couldn't imagine it. We didn't understand. I mean, this guy was positive. He told jokes. He told stories. I mean, he was just an amazing guy. He only had a couple more months left of high school. But he killed himself. Chad Huggins was a man that I took for granted. Chad Huggins was a man that loved people, and was truly a blessing to others. I want to ask you a question, and I don't want you to answer it right now. I want you to answer it in your small groups. So the whole time that we talk tonight, I want you to think about this question. Who do you take for granted? Who in your life do you take for granted? Just hold on to that question until the end. Now, if we believe that we are simply blessed, if we are the only people that receive blessings, if it's all about us, then we have completely and totally missed the point of blessing. Our whole world revolves around relationships with other people. And here's a practical way to be a blessing. Tomorrow, when you go into school, talk to one of your friends or someone. I would suggest talk to somebody that you don't normally talk to, okay? Maybe it's somebody that you kind of know. Maybe you kind of had like, you know, a past friendship back in, you know, elementary school. You haven't seen them in a while. You see them in the hall tomorrow. Compliment them. Talk with them. Share a story with them. But just be encouraging. Lift them up. Be a blessing to that person. But the thing is it's going to take you to get out of your comfort zone. And that's my question to you tonight. Will you get out of your comfort zone to be a blessing to somebody else? How do we see others as a blessing like God sees them? My big question here, to kind of take blessing out of it and just be a blatant, blunt question, is how do we see other people as God sees them? Let's be real. We don't want to deal with the drama and the sin and the lies and the deception that other people bring to the table. We don't want to deal with that. We want to kind of push it off to the side. But God deals with it head on. Jesus dealt with it head on at the cross. We can't afford, as human beings, to push aside problems of other people. We have to be able to interact with them. We have to engage with them. We have to talk them through it. And us as a church are called to be a family and a community that helps one another through a series of events of our lives. There are some that are great, some that are not so great. We love people in spite of themselves. What does that mean? Jesus, when he went to the cross, showed his ultimate love for us on that cross. But it wasn't because of our worth. It wasn't because of how incredible we are. It was in spite of our sinfulness, in spite of our inadequacies and our inability to love God fully. He loved us in spite of ourselves. So how do we love other people in spite of themselves? How do we even love ourselves in spite of ourselves? Let's be real here. American culture is filled with a people that is depressed and has no self-worth and has no self-confidence. Once again, a statement that I said last week, we have everything in America, but we have nothing. Last week, we talked about Tom Brady, who he dates a supermodel. He has all this money. He has 3 Super Bowl rings. I mean, in the list of blessings, he would rank at top. And yet he still felt like something was missing. How do we see other people as God loves them, as God sees them in spite of themselves? We need to pray each morning when we wake up that God will lead us to talk to the people that he wants us to talk to. Each day when we wake up, when you're in the shower, because this is something that I do, so it's practical, okay? If it's something that I do, it's practical because I don't like long-listed things, okay? I don't. I'm just not good at it. Every morning, well, I can't say every morning, that would be a lie, but almost every morning I wake up and I say, God, what do you have for me today? Who do you want me to talk to? Who do you want me to be a blessing to? You need to ask these questions in the morning if you really want to have a good perspective on your day. If you really want to have a good perspective on life, find out what you can do for others. Find out what you can do for others. You've probably heard the term, it's more blessed to give than to receive. And I think that's so true. Each week that we go to the Plum Food Pantry, I feel more blessed than if I would receive a gift. How do we see others as God sees us? Philippians 1, 3 through 5. I want to go there. I'm going to turn there so you guys can take the time and turn there. Philippians 1, 3 through 5. And this is kind of how Paul starts off most of his letters. Letters of joy, letters of thankfulness. And that's just kind of who Paul was. So let me read this first. It's Philippians 1, 3 through 5. I thank my God every time that I remember you. In all of my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. I want to go to 6 here. I think 6 is important. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on until completion, until the day of Jesus Christ. So when we come to Christ and when we live our lives, Christ doesn't abandon us. when we want to help other people, Christ does not abandon us. Rather, he who began a good work in you will carry it out until the day of completion. Our salvation, our belief in God, our journey as a spiritual people of Jesus Christ is a it's an ongoing journey. It's a process. It's a progress. It's something that constantly is taking place. It's not a one-time deal. It's a constant push towards Jesus Christ. Constantly. He who began a good work in you will not abandon you, but will carry it out until the day of completion when Jesus Christ returns. Now, right after Paul talks about the armor of God in Ephesians 6, Paul says this, "And pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for the saints." Pray. Pray on all occasions, in the Spirit, with all kinds of prayers and requests, because you need to pray for the saints and always be alert for them. How do we see others as God sees them? How do we see ourselves as God sees us? Pray. Pray for them. Pray for yourself. Pray that God will reveal to you the blessing that you are to be to other people. Paul prayed for these people with joy. But that doesn't mean that Paul was ignorant of their faults. Just like Jesus sees us at our best and our worst, Paul saw them and prayed for them to be a blessing. Just like Jesus, Paul loved them in spite of themselves. I want to talk to you about my friend named Matt. Matt and I have been friends since, sophomore year's 2004. Oh my gosh. So Matt and I have been friends, holy cow, 8 years? Wow. Holy cow. So I think my friend Matt and I have been friends for about 8 years. Yes, I'm in shock of that. That was not written down. I just want to let you know. Holy cow. So Matt and I have been friends for 8 years. You know, we went through the stages of our life where at the beginning, you know, it was great. We had a great friendship. Everything was working perfectly. That wasn't to say that we were perfect, but that, you know, we never really had a lot of issues. I would say until we went to college. Now, people are going to tell you never room with your best friend. Matt and I are living examples of that, okay? Never go to college your freshman year and room with your best friend from high school. It doesn't work. And Matt and I, there's a big conflict with Matt and I. We both have competitive personalities, very competitive. Matt likes to kind of be the, I don't want to say center of attention, but if you have a friend, he wants to be friends with that friend as well. And so, like, for me, like, I just felt like he would try to take all of my friends that I had, and I couldn't establish my own life at college. Meanwhile, he was making all these crazy friends, and then we would play Madden or NHL on Xbox, and if I would lose, I would get pissed off, and if he would lose, he would get pissed off. And so it was just a bad situation. To further everything, and to make a very long story short, we both had girlfriends living back home. Our girlfriends were friends with each other, and we were friends with each other. And there was a ton of drama because our girlfriends were in their senior years of high school. So there was just a lot of drama, a lot of tension. There was always something wrong. And to be honest, both Matt and I got to a point in our friendship where we said, all right, let's just salvage what we have. Matt actually moved out of the room. He didn't move far away. He literally moved right across the living room. but it was interesting because when Matt moved out of my room and moved into another person's room, literally right across the living room, our friendship improved. It was kind of weird. But Matt and I have been to hell and back. Matt and I have been to that point where we never thought we would be friends again. And it was a tough season for us. It was a very tough season. to not know whether or not your best friend that you went to college with was going to be there for you tomorrow, it was tough. A lot of people say that Matt and I are like a married couple. You know, they call us boyfriends or whatever. And to an extent, that first part is true. We really are like a married couple, and I can prove it. A couple of months ago, back in April, most of you guys know that I was really going through a tough time in my life. I was very depressed. I was very lonely. Things just weren't going the way that I thought they would, in terms of the youth group, in terms of my life, in terms of my school, like in every aspect of my life, things were just going downhill quickly. And so Matt said something to me, and I said something back to him that was very, it was a bad remark. And I basically told him to get out of my life. Matt and I didn't talk for a couple days, but when we did, Matt said that he cried. He cried because he felt like we broke up. Matt and I's relationship, our relationship is so deep with one another. Our relationship is so intimate that we constantly are trying to bless one another. We're constantly trying to help each other out and encourage each other. And sure, we go through times where things aren't going right. Sure, we play NHL and we get upset with one another. Sure, we have tempers that rage. But Matt and I, we love each other. And yes, we can never love each other like a man loves his wife or a wife loves her husband. But I love him and he loves me in a way that neither of us can describe. And these friendships and these relationships that you build with people are so crucial to who you are as a person. They are so crucial because one day they might save your life. Friendships are so important. The church family is so important. And that's why when you go into your small groups, that's why we have small groups. Is so that you guys can come together as a family and help each other through the problems, real life problems. That's why we have Discover on Monday nights at different people's houses, so we can go through those real life issues and questions that you guys have about life, because the life of a Christian is not away from the world, it's in the world, it's engaging the world, it's being in the community. That doesn't mean that we're supposed to be of the world, but we're supposed to be in it. And we have to learn how to deal with certain situations according to the Christian life. And that includes being a blessing, not just to the church family, but to others. How do you think you're going to win people to Christ? Do you honestly think that you can go out into the world and win people to Christ by saying, "Hey, how's it going? Yep. All right, see you later." Do you think that really builds a relationship? Think about what it means to be a blessing to other people. Because you need to be a friend that loves somebody at all times, not just when it's easy or convenient. I want to ask you guys, where are you in all of this? Are you a blessing to others? Have you been a blessing to other people? Have people been a blessing to you? And if so, how? At the beginning of this whole thing, I said, who are you taking for granted? Is it your parents? Is it your siblings? Your teachers? Your youth pastor? What about your best friends? What about those people that maybe you're afraid to talk to because you're afraid that they're going to ruin your reputation? Jesus ate and talked with all kinds of sinners and all kinds of people, and he didn't care about his reputation because he knew ultimately that the Father would provide, that the Father would take care of his reputation. Remember Jesus' words, "Blessed are you who are persecuted for righteousness, for the kingdom of heaven is yours." Jesus didn't care about his reputation because he wanted to bless others with his love, words, compassion, and his truth. So this week, I want to challenge you, and I want to ask you something. Who are you going to be a blessing to this week? Lord Jesus, I pray that as these words are spoken and as these stories unfold, that they would hear your words, they would hear your they would feel your love. Lord, this week, I pray that each single day you would put it in the minds of these students, who can they be a blessing to? Who can they help out this week to show your love and your compassion and your words and your truth? This week, Lord, I want you to challenge these students. This week, Lord, show us who we can be a blessing to, especially as we come into this Thanksgiving season, Lord. Show us how we can be thankful, not only for what we have received, but how we can be thankful in returning the gifts that you've given us. Lord, we do thank you, and we are so grateful for all that you have given us. Thank you for being a blessing to our lives, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.